Well, good morning. Happy Sunday. It's looking like this may be the last time we have to do this through video, and that really pleases me. We're looking at the possibility of opening church next Sunday, and so I'm asking you all to pray on Tuesday night for our church council so we can make the right decisions and do what God wants us to do. And also, another announcement, just keep praying for the Muslims. We're in the midst of Ramadan right now, so that will bear fruit as God wills. So, it's time to get at this, so let's have a prayer. Thank you, Lord. Father, it's a joy to be together with you and together with each other, even over the airwaves. I'm asking you, please, as we sit at your feet and yield to you to teach us, give us insight into knowing and believing, and help us, Father, to believe the truth and reject the lies. Help us, Lord, to know the truth, to believe the truth, so that you, with the truth, can make us free. I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week we took a look at the subject of knowing and believing. I know what I believe, but do I believe what I know? And we looked at some scripture and laid a good foundation, I think. But there's more to be said about it. I think God wants us to continue in that theme. So this is going to be called Know and Believe. Part two. So here we go. Just a bit of a review. We looked last week at John 6, verse 69, where Peter said, we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We believe and are sure. The idea being that believing expresses what we're sure of, what we're sure of. And one of the themes today is going to be, who are we believing? When faced with a challenge, when faced with a struggle, when faced with trouble, the enemy has been very clever in training us and programming us, as we say, how to react and how to respond. Even to the point of utilizing that training from the enemy, whether it's bitterness or accusation or envy or rejection or fear or unloving performance, whatever, utilizing that understanding to even define the challenge, to define the trouble. So, we believe and are sure. Anything that can convince us to the point of believing has really got a foothold in our life. How do you approach trouble? How do you approach challenge? Do you see it as an opportunity for God to work? Or do you see it as an opportunity for failure? Or an opportunity for danger or insecurity? When you consider a relationship with a person, how do you approach that relationship? Do you approach it with the love that God has put in your heart? So that love informs what you believe about not only yourself, but about the other person? Or have we allowed spirits of fear and rejection and other things to teach us and train us in what we believe, that we have to be very careful here and there or whatever? Have we let pain, for example, pain in relationships, have we let pain train us and establish what we believe. Well, moving ahead, we talked about Ephesians 4, the wonderful passage where Paul says in verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God. Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So that God wants unity in what we know and what we believe. And then he goes on to say, so that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. The concept of being a child, children are all over the block. Children go from one thing to another very quickly. Even what they're thinking, even what they're believing. God doesn't want us to be children. He wants us to grow up so that we have a sure, solid foundation, a solid place to stand, a solid place, foundation for our life. So that we're not blown around by every wind of doctrine and by the cunningness of people and all that kind of stuff. Where we're single-minded and have a single purpose in our life. And then we looked at Psalm 27, where our brother David said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He knew trouble. He had enemies. He knew the challenges of life, and he said, you know, all of the stuff that life piles up on us could cause us to faint unless we believe. We can look around easily and know the challenges that life presents to us, and they sometimes appear monumental, overwhelming, impossible. That's where faith comes in. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That tells us that what we believe informs what we see and informs how we see. And so what he's saying is, I can look around and see all the trouble. I can look around and see all the challenges. But what I'm, what keeps me going, what keeps me from fainting, what keeps me going, is that I believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Not when I die, now. I will see. So how do we see the goodness of the Lord in the midst of trouble? We see through the eyes of faith. You remember the scripture says clearly, we walk by faith, not by sight. And so the training that we've had from the enemy that we deal with in our ministry has taught us how to see, what to look for, how to interpret what our eyes see. It's always negative. It's always bad. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So how we take on a challenge depends upon what we believe. One question we might ask is, how many truths do I know? For example, how many scriptures do I know? We may have a lot of verses hidden in our heart, and that's good. But the question is, how many of those scriptures do I believe? How many of them do I believe? Another question is, how much of what I believe is rooted in my feelings? I do know how I feel. Many times I think we're trained in this country, if I feel it, that must mean I believe it. That may be something we want to take a look at. Because feelings aren't reliable. Didn't say they're not there. They are there. It's not wrong to have feelings. It's not sinful to have feelings. But when those feelings begin to take us away from God, away from each other, when those feelings, obviously we know that the enemy in the areas in which we deal in our ministry, every single one of those strongholds has feelings, produces feelings. So how much of knowing and believing relies on our feelings? There's a wonderful passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20, where Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established." What I get from that is, obviously, an encouragement to believe God without question. But what I get from it is, so shall ye be established. We will be established in what we believe. What we believe provides the foundation for how we approach life, how we make decisions, how we see things, how we approach trouble, how we approach joy. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. If I believe the lies of fear, I'll be established in fear. If I believe the lies of bitterness, I'll be established in bitterness. If I believe the lies of rejection, I will be established in rejection. If I believe the lies of performance, that I have to perform to earn your love, and that I have the right or the habit of expecting you to perform to earn my love or to prove your love to me, whatever it may be. Whatever I believe, how I believe, who I believe establishes me. So they call us believers. We would call ourselves believers. We believe in Jesus. We believe in God. We believe in the truth of the scriptures. We believe in the gospel of salvation. We believe. And it establishes us. That's why the enemy works so hard to shake the foundation, by providing alternatives to the truth, to try to move us into believing those alternatives. I want to continue on here with another wonderful passage of Scripture. Romans 15, verse 13. Here's what Paul says. "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." The God of hope, one of God's names, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope. Boy, there are some really key truths there. First of all, the opportunity of God to fill us up with joy and peace in our faith. Calling him the God of hope. Why is he the God of hope? Because what he does produces and encourages and establishes hope in us. So, for example, we might say, God is good. I've got all these troubles, but God is good. Fine. If he's the God of hope in our life, then I have hope that in his goodness, he will come through. He will carry me through the trouble. He will guide me through the trouble, even through the valley of the shadow of death, as we studied a few weeks back. The second thing is, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Now, this is an interesting concept. First of all, we all know that that word all means all. So how would you like to have all joy? How would you like to have all peace? Well, the vehicle for receiving all joy and all peace is believing. Believing the God of hope. As our hearts are open, as our minds are open, our spirits are open to receive from Him, He is able to fill us with all joy and all peace in believing. I was reading this yesterday and it occurred to me, these are like gauges. These are like gauges. When I'm driving my car, I look down at my gauge, my gas gauge, and it'll tell me how much gas do I have. It'll also help me make a decision. Do I need to stop and buy some gas, or am I okay just to keep driving? What's the fruit of your believing? What's the fruit of our believing? The fruit coming from God is all joy and peace. And so if what I'm believing, especially as I'm approaching trouble or dealing with issues in my life, what I'm believing, is it producing, is it fostering, is it providing by the hand of God all joy and peace? If my believing keeps me in peace, if what I believe, how I believe about God Himself and about His ways, does it keep me in joy? Is it possible even to approach a problem or trouble or circumstances with joy? Yeah, it is. It is. If our foundation is believing God, the God of hope. Is it possible to approach troubles and problems with peace, in peace? Yes, absolutely it is. And so one thing we might want to take from this is, in my believing, in my faith, in the things that I know and believe, in the way that I respond to trouble, the way I respond to challenges, does it produce joy and peace in me? If it does, then we are responding in faith. Because the word says very clearly here, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope. So I've got a problem, I've got a challenge, I've got a person I'm dealing with, I've got a whatever it may be, whatever the challenge could be. How do I approach it? How do I see it? Do I see it through God's eyes or through my own? Do I see it through the eyes of fear or the eyes of hope? If I see it through the eyes of fear, I can guarantee you that my believing as I approach that problem will not produce joy and peace. It will produce anxiety. It will produce worry. It will produce insecurity. It'll produce torment. But if I approach the issues of life daily and overall with the faith that comes from the God of hope, that faith will release in me joy and peace, no matter how serious the issue. We have people in our church that face serious issues. At one time or another, we all face serious issues. Our country is facing serious issues. What do you believe about God regarding our country? What do you believe about the future for our country, for the economy, for the health and well-being of our people? Does God have a way? Does he have a plan? Does he know the issues? Are we allowing the problems and the weightiness of the national issues to drag us down? Or as we pray for our country, does that praying and releasing the issues to God, does it produce in us joy and peace? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. There's another passage in Romans 10, verses 2 and 3. He's talking about the Jewish leaders, and he says, I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So here's another area in which knowing and believing affects us. Whatever we believe, we will submit to. In this case, the Jewish leaders believed in the law and in the performing of the law establishing righteousness in them, even though God says it's impossible. And so they submitted to the law and to self-righteousness instead of submitting to God, because that's what they believed. It says their zeal, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They had the wrong plan. They had the wrong perspective, therefore the wrong approach. Their knowledge informed their faith. So, they've not submitted to God. They've not submitted to Messiah. What we believe, we will submit to. This is a truth that is very profound, because the enemy understands and knows believing better than we do. He programs us from the womb, for example, to fear. He programs us from the womb. He drips in on us as a source of thought. He plants the seeds and waters them, and God brings them forward into a full-blown garden of fear in our life. He trains us how to see. He trains us how to think. And because that fear becomes a foundation in our life, we submit to it. We believe it. And so, when faced with a challenge, we run the other way. Or we become anxious and worried. Instead of allowing God to do his work, the God of hope, to do his work of filling us with all joy and peace in believing. What we believe, we submit to, folks. What we believe, we submit to. That's the plan of the enemy. We talk a lot around here about believing the truth and rejecting the lies. The problem is, it's hard to reject a lie that we believe. It's hard to even see the lie that we believe as a lie, and it's hard to see that we believe it. And so we have to ask God to help us immensely. Going back to the Romans 15 passage, it ends up with this. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The power, the word power there is dunamis. So what it's saying is the Holy Spirit that dwells in us has the ability to lead us into believing the God of hope so that he can fill us with all joy and peace in believing. Was thinking about the difference between knowing and believing. And knowing is kind of like shifting sand. Knowing changes with the next thing we learn, the next thing we see. Especially if the enemy is guiding our eyes and showing us what to look for, how to see it, how to interpret it, then our knowing will change as time goes on. Our knowing of the truth changes too, because God continues to work in us. Thank you, Lord. Believing is a firm foundation. The more we believe, the firmer our foundation. And so it makes it very important that who and what we believe is the right source. Believing God establishes a firm foundation for us that, as we've talked about in the past, enables us to stand. We stand with him. We stand for him. We stand. He enables us to stand. There comes a point in time, you see, where believing usurps knowing. Where believing usurps the truth. What we believe becomes the truth. And so if I'm believing what the enemy has taught me over all the years of my life, and trust me, there's a ton in my life. If I'm believing what he has established in my life, then I am saying to myself, even to God, what fear has taught me is the truth. What bitterness has taught me is the truth. What anxiety has taught me is the truth. Isn't it amazing how we can be led to worry about things over which we have absolutely no control? And yet we do it because worry has become what we believe. We believe in worry from the spirit of fear. Well, I think it's probably time to wrap it up here. So I know what I believe. Do I believe what I know? We carry that forward and say, what I believe is what I know, because what I believe is the truth to me. So I have been given everything I need by my wonderful God to discern the truth. We talk about discernment oftentimes being to discern lies, to discern the enemy, to discern this evil, etc. How about we just engage in discerning the truth so we can find the truth? We can establish the truth. God can establish the truth in us as what we believe. And the God of hope can fill us with all joy and peace in believing. Father, thank you for the gift of faith. Thank you for your immense patience with us and your great and tender love. Father, continue to guide us step by step in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Bring healing, Father, to broken hearts. And please, Lord, show us the folly of believing the enemy. Show us where the foundation of our life has been established by believing the wrong source by turning even away from the real truth and establishing lies as truth. We bless you for it. We thank you, and I ask you, Father, to watch over your kids, your CLC kids. Bless them, Father, with all joy and peace in believing. And bring us back together at the time of your choosing. I trust you for it all in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And now prepare your hearts to receive the benediction. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give you all joy and peace in believing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we receive your blessing, O God. Amen. Don't forget to pray for the Muslims and pray for the church council next Tuesday. God bless you.